This podcast is brought to you by BearRadio.net, eclectic gay music 24/7.
Greetings. Thanks for joining us here on Bear Soup. This is Spunk Daddy, Ron Serratia.
We're with Daddy Bear Rocco.
And we're enjoying our huge backyard hot tub. Plenty of room for every bear. Just drop trow and drop that big hairy bod into the drink. You're just in time for Bear Soup. The B-Talk boys discussed this on one of their shows, but I wanted to read for you this first-person essay by Greg Paz from The Advocate, September 12, 2006, entitled, Fat Greg is Dead. I've been two things as long as I can remember, fat and gay. And when I say fat, I mean fat. At my peak, I weighed nearly 400 pounds. I was one cheeseburger away from someone tying ropes to me and floating me down New York City's Fifth Avenue during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And I've learned the hard way that fat and gay go together about as well as Barbara Walters and Star Jones. I've spent the last few years living and socializing in the gay capital of Southern California, West Hollywood. Needless to say, I do not fit in. But I am surprised at the outright hostility, heartlessness, and viciousness I've experienced from my thinner peers. I have been mooed at, pointed at, pushed, called every name in the book, and basically treated like a terrorist in my own city by members of my own community. A bartender at one prominent club called me fat ass when taking my drink order. Another refused to serve me at all. I stood there for nearly a half hour while he helped all the pretty, thin people. But I was invisible to him. Humiliated, I finally had to ask one of my thinner friends to get my drink for me. After years of such abuse, I decided I'd had enough. On May 10th, I declared Fat Greg to be officially dead. It was on that day that I had gastric bypass surgery. In the 4 months since then, I've lost more than 100 pounds. I could lie and say the decision to undergo life-altering surgery was solely for health reasons, but that wouldn't be the whole truth. Deep inside, I just want to be thin. I want to walk down Santa Monica Boulevard without getting insults hurled at me from strangers in passing cars. I want to be able to go to a gay bar and order a drink without being hassled. I want to be treated like a human being in a city that claims to promote acceptance and to embrace differences, but apparently draws the line at fat people. I want to be accepted for who I am, not how I look. I want to be respected. I want to stop being invisible. And from the May 2006 genre magazine, Lady Bunny's column, an interview entitled A Big, Big Love. Lady Bunny introduces the interview by saying, I first met Big Bill at Wigstock, an oversized drag queen, Jennifer Snackwell, who delighted audiences by bouncing around the stage in a psychedelic mini moo-moo. But offstage, a fat queen receives a much chillier response and is often at the bottom of the gay cruising totem. I'm not advocating that you have sex with obese guys if that turns you off, but why not examine some of your prejudices? Bill and I sat down over rolls with butter, high carb, high fat, to gut some of the issues faced by plus-sized fags. Now bear in mind that the Bear Soup Hot Tub has invited Lady Bunny and Big Bill to join us here in the hot tub. I think that there's room for all of us. Lady Bunny and Big Bill were planning to come, but they had to cancel at the last minute. So, unfortunately, they send their deepest regrets and have asked me to read their parts of the conversation for you. So here you go. Lady Bunny opens the conversation. It strikes me as odd that the gay movement asks straights for tolerance, yet we are so intolerant of physical attributes that vary from the himbo white muscle god image. Why do gays have such an intense dislike of heavy people? Bill. Maybe self-loathing? The key is diversity. It takes different people of all shapes, sizes, and colors to turn different people on, and I'm a big man. Bunny. But for people who think outside the stereotypical box, is there a certain type of person who is attracted to bigger people? Bill. Yeah, there's a type which is basically a non-type. They defy types. For the people I let into my life, I qualify no image. Bunny. As long as they have food. Bill. As long as they take me out to dinner. First, or afterwards, Bunny, or during. Is there a preconceived notion about what sexual role heavier people will play? Bill, many people expect me to be a bottom, but it's the complete opposite. I'm a top. Bunny, they'd better have strong backs. I have a theory about why people expect heavyset guys to be bottoms. The gym culture is all about striving for this hypermasculine, chiseled, not-found-in-nature physique. Bill, a lot of them are big bottoms, Bunny. Bunny, not to mention they often have no dick and shriveled-up nuts. I get the impression that many guys feel inferior because they're bottoms, so they need to bulk up in the gym to overcompensate for the fact that they throw their legs up at night. Senselessly, gays look down at bottoms, too. Bill, a lot of times you notice that muscle gods are looking for someone more masculine than themselves to screw them. All that masculinity just folds right up when they're getting it in the butt. Bunny, do you think that bigger people are considered bottoms because their softness hints at an ineffectual and therefore passive male? Bill, a lot of times when I'm having sex, men will grab my fat, they will want to touch it and feel it, and I'm like, okay, you're a chubby chaser, but that's all right because I'm fucking them. Do what you want because I get what I want too. Bunny, you pig! Bill, but you really hit on something with the idea of this overcompensation. Some gays are so controlling and self-absorbed with their weight that in bed, they want to feel the complete opposite, which is fat. They're being so obsessive about their own image that they feed on their obsessiveness by grabbing my gut. It's like aversion therapy. Their brain is telling them to constantly monitor their appearance, and then in bed, their brain rebels and tells them to grab what they spend their lives avoiding, a big gut. People look at me in one of two ways. Either they're disgusted or they're a little frightened. I'm a big man, 6 feet and kind of wide. Bunny, when they are disgusted, how does that manifest itself? You summer in Provincetown, which for those of you who don't know is very white, muscular, and wealthy. Bill, well, I struggle there for a lot of attention from gay men. Why should they go with some big fat guy when there is so much eye candy? But I like being there because I'm different. Bunny, what would you say to someone who questions your ability to be healthy and so large? Doesn't carrying a lot of weight stress the heart and have other health problems like diabetes associated with it? Bill, I manage my blood pressure. My cholesterol is okay, I work out a lot, and a stress test has proved that my heart is okay. If anything, it's my joints that might be a problem, but that happens to everyone with age. Bunny, well, you don't have to tell Lardy Bunyan. Bill, I'm still working toward a goal, and that's to stave off death. We all have to enjoy our journey and age gracefully. The best revenge is living well, and those gym queens are suffering and depriving themselves the pleasure of the journey. That's why I brought you to Balducci's to have rolls with butter, a cornucopia of food of the utmost quality. Lady Bunny concludes saying, Bill, you're drooling. So, to Lady Bunny and Big Bill, I'm really sorry that you couldn't join us, but we'll call it a rain check, and thanks so much for letting me read your great interview. Whoops, the darn brain's clogged with fur again, so gotta go. This is Spunk Daddy's Bear Soup, episode number 35. The background music is by Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan with Eddie Vedder from the Dead Man Walking soundtrack. Thanks for joining us here on Bear Soup.
You have been listening to Bear Soup. Send your questions and comments to bearsoup@bearradio.net.